The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hello, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. for more relevant news and patient perspectives. Beer consumption may be linked to MS risk. Meta-analysis. Alcohol intake is not significantly associated with an increased risk of developing multiple sclerosis, but specifically drinking beer may elevate the risk, according to a recent meta-analysis. The association, however, was limited by a small number of included studies. Further large-scale prospective studies should be conducted to verify the conclusion, the researchers wrote. The study, Alcohol Consumption is Associated with Excessive Risk of Multiple Sclerosis, a Meta-Analysis Observational Study, was published in the Sao Paulo Medical Journal. Environmental and lifestyle factors are thought to contribute to MS risk, progression, and/or severity. Alcohol use has been identified as a risk factor for autoimmune conditions, but whether it specifically influences MS risk has remained a matter of debate. While some studies report an increased risk of MS with alcohol consumption, others have reported a lower risk or no association at all. Researchers in China performed a meta-analysis of previously published studies on the topic to clarify this relationship. 9 studies, including 211,396 subjects and 10,407 MS patients, were included. Of them, 5 studies were conducted in Europe, 3 in North America, and 1 in Iran. In 8 of the studies, alcohol use was surveyed among MS patients and control groups. The remaining study was a prospective study that followed a large group of women and monitored their alcohol use and whether they later developed MS. A pooled analysis of all these studies revealed no link between overall alcohol intake and MS risk, but further subgroup analysis showed that specifically drinking beer was linked to an increased risk of the autoimmune disease. The research team noted, however, that this analysis was based on findings from only 2 of the studies with contradicting results, which may limit conclusions. The researchers noted that alcohol intake had a distinct association with MS risk in males and females, although the protective or harmful effect trends were not associated with any statistically significant difference, the researchers wrote. Overall, this study found that alcohol intake was not associated with the risk of multiple sclerosis, whereas beer intake was associated with an increased risk of multiple sclerosis, the researchers wrote. That most of the studies involve participants recalling previous alcohol use marks a limitation of the study, the researchers said, noting that their observation needs further verification through a large-scale prospective cohort study. This news article was written by Lindsay Shapiro, Ph.D., on June 21, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. Goldilocks, a column by Stephen DiMarzo, published June 16, 2022. The journey toward my primary progressive MS diagnosis. When I turned 50 in 2013, I blew out the candles, and bam, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I started seeing an endocrinologist and a neurologist, taking daily diabetic medications and testing my blood sugar every day. At that point, I was not physically disabled in any way and continued my day-to-day routine. I own a retail farm, a greenhouse, and a nursery where I grow flowers, vegetables, and perennials for people's gardens. It's very physical, challenging work. Mother Nature and Father Time are demanding and unpredictable bosses. About 6 years ago, I started noticing that my balance was off, my endurance was low, and my focus wasn't as sharp. I attributed these changes to getting older, wearing down, and my diabetes possibly worsening. I began complaining of back and leg problems. Maybe it's neuropathy, I wondered. Then erectile dysfunction paid me a visit. One day I picked up a concrete block with my left hand, something I'd done a million times, only for it to slip out. I figured it must have been my grip. I tried picking it up again, but it fell out of my hand. What the heck? Finally, I picked up the block successfully with my right hand, but the event was puzzling. Soon I was having difficulty handling the heat. Summer temperatures regularly reach the upper 90s here in New Jersey, and it can be 120 degrees Fahrenheit in the greenhouses. I needed more breaks, more fluids, more time in the shade. By the end of each day, I was completely exhausted and drained. During my visit with my primary care doctor, I would talk about my diabetes and bring up the strange symptoms I was experiencing. They weren't that severe at the time, so my doctor and I quickly dismissed them, assuming I was getting older. I was 53 at that point. Or experiencing complications of diabetes. I was in relatively good shape overall, so I was advised not to worry. But as time went on, my symptoms worsened. I was having greater difficulty walking, experiencing more weakness, and tripping all the time. I tripped over the smallest things: rocks, wood, a weed barrier, a garden hose. Hoses are everywhere in a greenhouse, so I fell often. I was having more trouble lifting and holding things in my left hand. I could no longer load the truck or hold a screwdriver, wrench, hammer, or cordless drill. I'd built my place 30 years earlier and done everything myself: carpentry, nuts and bolts, electrical, plumbing, and gas. But now I couldn't do a smidgen of that. And to top it off, I was having trouble taking a leak. What was going on? Another year went by, and I returned to my primary care doctor. I asked him why I couldn't take a leak, and my doc recommended I see a urologist, as it could be a bladder problem. But the urologist didn't have an explanation, because all of my test results looked good. I also saw my endocrinologist, who said these strange symptoms had nothing to do with diabetes. By October 2020, my symptoms had increased in severity. I couldn't stand for more than 15 minutes, and I was hunched over. I became convinced that I had a lower back problem that would require surgery. I decided not to grow a crop of Christmas poinsettias that year. Instead, I closed down the greenhouse for the winter to figure out what was going on with me. My next stop was an orthopedist who ordered an MRI scan of my lower back. The results showed I had degenerative disc disease in my L5-S1 vertebrae. I was told to do physical therapy for 4 weeks and then check back with my doctor. I was worse off than when I started. Some days I had to be carried to the car. After reviewing the physical therapist's analysis, my orthopedist thought my leg weakness was resulting from an issue in my cervical spine, not my lumbar area. He ordered another MRI, this time of my neck. This scan gave us the first clues. My orthopedist told me there was some strange shading on my cervical spine, which he believed could be a sign of multiple sclerosis. He told me to see a neurologist immediately. The neurologist deemed the cervical MRI inconclusive. She ordered 3D MRIs, with contrast, focusing on my brain and my cervical and thoracic spine. Textbook multiple sclerosis. The neurologist did not opine on which type I had, but referred me to the gurus at the local MS clinic. After a 3-hour consultation with a physical therapist, a registered nurse, and the head doctor, I was finally diagnosed with primary progressive MS. To read more columns from Stephen DiMarzo and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.